I go to the fort and I actually get to get on court with some of these up and coming players, get to coach them, get to train with them, and then get to help some of these kids. So I'm excited to see, you know, how these kids develop. It is definitely fun feeling like I'm the old guy and still kicking the butts, you know, every day. I would love for them to start beating me at some point. I want them to be successful, but got to go through me first.
Kyle, welcome to Behind the Paddle.
I appreciate it.
I'm people know your background pretty well, so I don't want to go too deep into kind of like the origin of you getting into pickleball, because I think that's pretty well documented. But what I am interested with this podcast specifically is, you know, with the name of it, Behind the Paddle, I'm very curious in terms of kind of what you transitioned into doing more of. I know you're more on the business side of things, still playing a good amount, still working with up and coming players. So yeah, I guess just kind of big high level, where are you at right now with pickleball, and what are your different projects?
Well, I mean, I've been playing a long time. Okay. My first nationals was 2014. So we're going on 11 years of playing tournaments pretty much full time. So, try not to let it get stale. I've actually somewhat retired multiple times and then always find that itch to come back and keep it. So I'm sure that's going to happen again. But yeah, I wanted to transition and try to do some different things, try to look more for the future. Little career change. I still love competing, but at the same time, it's getting harder, and I'm, trying to find ways to settle down a little bit, not be traveling and be on the road all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So a couple of years ago, a really cool opportunity, popped up for me in Colorado with this franchise called The Pickler, which opens indoor pickleball facilities. They're based out of Utah. And so I decided, hey, let's move to Colorado and open up a bunch of indoor facilities and see if I could be more useful to the pickleball community out there than in Florida, where it was already pretty well developed, pretty saturated. And that's kind of my passion, not just playing, but just growing the game, teaching it to new people. I really wanted to get it more in schools. So yeah, big change for me. I've been in a lot more meetings and doing a lot more behind the scenes business stuff, not really as much on court stuff, but I try to get in as much as I can. So I'm actually in the Cayman Islands right now for the APP Grand Cayman tournament this week. So I still try to compete when I can, but I'm not necessarily relying on the tournament prize money anymore. It's more of a hobby for me, which I'm enjoying more.
Yeah, I was laughing inside when you were like, less travel as you're sitting there in the Cayman Islands, but that's an okay travel spot. It's not Cincinnati or, So, a couple of things there based on what you said. So I would imagine that as you've spent more time off court, like the enjoyment you're getting on court is probably a lot more, right?
I think so. Yeah. I just take it a little bit less seriously. And obviously, I'm still a very competitive person. I don't like losing. But at the same time, I'm not as stressed out relying on winning. It's not the most important thing anymore. So I'm having a good time. So I'm able to be more selective with the tournaments I play, so that I know I'm going to somewhere I'm going to enjoy more. I'm playing with people I know I'm going to enjoy playing with. So just surrounding myself in a little bit more positive environments, which has been really good for my mental health.
Yeah, what's kind of the balance of what you're doing on the business side versus like on court coaching? Because I know you have a role right now with the kind of the up and comers on the APP tour. So, what's your balance there?
Well, that's just it. I like giving back. I love talking about pickleball probably more than playing it, actually. But I was hired as one of the directors at the Fort, which for me is a little bit more of a part time deal. But also I enjoy it. So I travel to the Fort periodically to help with their Touring Pro program. So that's about a week or two every month. So I kind of have to go back and forth. which is fine because Colorado, I don't really give a lot of lessons. I don't really do coaching. It's more the managing side of things. And then I go to the Fort and I actually get to get on court with some of these up and coming players, get to coach them, get to train with them. And then I kind of get enough practice that I need and get to help some of these kids. So I'm excited to see, how these kids develop. But it is definitely fun feeling like I'm the old guy and still
Yeah.
kicking the nuts, every day.
Yeah. That's probably the cool aspect is that you're getting to coach and kind of guide them and help them where it's not like it's like you mentioned, it's not like a direct competition anymore, right? You're not depending on it as much as you were. You're able to still play and be competitive and beat up on them, but it's not like do or die.
I would love for them to start beating me at some point.
Yeah.
I'm happy. So I'm
It's like
cheering for
the child beating the father for the first time, you know?
them. Yeah, exactly. I want them to be successful,
Yeah.
and but got to go through me first.
That's right. That's right. In terms of the Picklr in Colorado, what does that look like? I guess one, why did you? So I'm imagining people listening to this podcast are lovers of pickleball. They're interested in the sport and the people behind it and the people that are kind of, building the infrastructure from the ground up in terms of making it a more of a global sport. So in terms of getting in on the facility side with the Picklr, what made that an attractive avenue for you at the time? And if you were to be presented with that same offer now, let's say, fast forward to 2025, you didn't get in when you got in, is it still something that you would do today?
Sure. I mean, that's a great question. I had some connections already with the guys who run the Picklr. I mean, I've been to Utah plenty of times. I kind of already knew the owners, Austin George, a little bit, and I had some mutual friends that were already investors. But we got in pretty early, so I was actually, I think probably the first, if not maybe the second, franchise for the Picklr. They had corporate owned in Utah, and they had one location in Colorado. And so I actually moved to Colorado, bought the one location, and then acquired the franchise rights to the state. So I kind of got in pretty early with that. That being said, I've always really wanted to own my own facility. I've always, I mean, I just for a long time, I've always kind of wanted my own club. And so I've experimented with a little bit in Florida, but just nothing I could own that was actually mine. I would always get hired somewhere, but I wanted to actually own it, run it, and find a way to actually help build it a little bit more. So. I think it was a unique opportunity. I think there's a lot of potential. I think there's a lot of potential in the amateur side of the sport, probably more so really than the pro, to be honest. That's my opinion. And it's just growing so much. And like I said, Colorado was I just thought a really cool state. I always would visit there. I always loved it out there. The mountains, very different from Florida. I had some family there, and pickleball was still pretty new. So there wasn't a lot of facilities. I know the weather in Colorado can be a little iffy sometimes. It's beautiful a lot, but it can be really windy. The winter obviously was snow. So I thought, hey, let's go open some indoor clubs. Let's see if I can grow the pickleball community out there, get it more into schools, try to just promote as much as possible. Because I've already seen how much it's grown in Florida from scratch,
Yeah.
from 12, 15 years ago, and the positive impact that has in those communities. And so I thought, again, I could be very, very useful in a different state to help it get started. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Totally. And if what, so you're going into this, you never having owned a facility, you were hired to kind of run some programming in Florida. What were the biggest, like, or I guess what was the number one surprise to you in terms of something? In terms of getting into the business and something you didn't expect.
Sure. Well, I knew it was going to be expensive. I mean, obviously it's no joke. So rent prices, payroll, all this stuff. So, but I think the Picklr does a pretty good job helping us out, just as a company, and then with their marketing, their branding, and then their corporate's been really, really helpful on the franchise side, just making sure all the ducks are in a row. They kind of got all planned out, so it's pretty cookie cutter. Right from the start, definitely there were some growing pains, which is again, that's probably the thing I didn't expect. Experimenting with a lot of different kind of programming, but it was fun. You try to I
Just
like
tinker,
solving problems.
right?
I like solving problems, I like puzzles.
Yeah.
So, you're trying to figure out what works. I mean, a lot of little things from, when do you do the 3-5 open plays, and the
Sure.
different graphics. So that's simple. I'm not a big math guy. I don't really like going through all the numbers and all that kind of stuff. So we have, accountant. I've got a really good team that helps me. which I wouldn't be able to do without them. I'm just kind of the pickleball mind of it. But yeah, I would say there's just so many more things that go into it. It's hard to describe. It's just meetings after meetings after meetings. But it's fun for me. I'm around a lot of cool people every day. So I wouldn't say that any crazy big surprises, but it's just, I mean, I knew it was gonna be a lot of work.
More
I
work
just,
than you probably thought.
I mean, yeah, but like I said, I got a really good team. I got a really good team. So in the beginning, I was a little bit overwhelmed, but
Yeah.
now I trust delegating a little bit more. So it's
Sure.
not me, but it's still fun to be able to go to the club every day, and say hi to all the employees and everyone, and jump into the open plays with all the members, and getting to
Yeah.
know a lot of new people. So yeah, no crazy big surprises, but it's
The
fun. And
fun, yeah.
Colorado, like, there wasn't a lot of other facilities, not really a lot of other competition. People just want to be able to play, right? So when it's with snow and all the outdoor courts have snow on them, and the city wouldn't let you shovel, and so they would just be iced over for weeks at a time. There's nowhere to play. People just want to play pickleball, so that's all I
Yeah.
want to provide. I want to get more pickleball players addicted to the sport and give them opportunities to play.
Yeah, love it. And you mentioned clubs plural. So do you have more than one? Or what's the situation in Colorado?
So my group, it was myself and a few other guys. We acquired the franchise rights for the state, and actually Southern Wyoming. So the plan is to open a whole bunch of them. So Picklr is a national franchise chain, and so right now we actually have three open and running, and Cheyenne, Loveland, and Thornton, and we have another one opening in Aurora in a few weeks in April. Our grand
Nice.
opening, 18th. Soft opening will be a couple weeks before that. So we'll have four clubs with more underway, with the plans to do about 10 to 15 across the state of Colorado. And with their membership model, just I'm pretty optimistic about it. So it's one of those where it's all-inclusive membership. So you pay a flat rate for the month, and you get four free drill classes a month, free leagues, free tournaments, free court reservations. It's all-inclusive, and one membership works at all of them nationwide.
Oh, that's clutch.
Exactly. So I really got nervous. I wanted to open my own facility, but I was just thinking open up one and I would be there. And
Yeah.
then I got the opportunity to franchise, which gave me an opportunity to open a whole bunch of clubs. And again, big project, but they make it a lot easier. The fact that they've already done so many, it's very cookie cutter. So the
Yeah.
first one was stressful, and now it's kind of just, it's getting easier, a little smoother process from here on out, hopefully.
And would you, based on kind of streamlining that process, would you be open to opening more, maybe outside Colorado or somewhere else, or is that just too much of a project?
Well, a lot of the territory's kind of already been claimed, but I think I'm probably good with where I'm at. But if opportunities arise, you never know.
Sure. So you mentioned kind of the cookie cutter stuff and the support you've gotten from the Pickler. How much different, like there's a lot of people I know out there that are looking at facilities and getting into it and starting their own brand. What would you say has been the biggest, or I guess what would be, if you were trying to go into it on your own without the Pickler support, how different would that have been? Probably a little longer road, but.
Very, 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 very different. Like I said, the team is everything. So the guys that I'm working with closely, like my franchise development team, brilliant guys, brilliant guys. We all compliment each other really well. We've got like a guy who's just got decades of experience in corporate, affairs, a guy who's got decades of experience in accounting, a guy who's got decades experience in franchising. And I've got de a decade in pickleball experience, so I feel like we get a solid team, which that's huge. But also, I mean, location, location, location.
Yeah.
Essentially, if you're in the right spot, and you do everything fairly well, you're going to be fine. So I think that'd probably be the most important thing. Find where it's needed, and then go for it.
Is that something the Pickler helps with in terms of sourcing locations, or is that based? Yeah, okay.
Corporate does such a good job with that, mapping out the different population densities and demographics and whatnot, and then finding general areas and area codes where they think one would work. And then also, like, the timeline of opening them, knowing where to open them at certain times. So
Sure.
one location kind of starts reaching capacity with membership, then we can open up another one 30 minutes away, and that one would be okay. So we're kind of spread out right now, and then we start filling in the gaps eventually, if it's busy, which I mean, some of the clubs are doing really well, so it's exciting.
Like, what are we talking about? Like, are we talking courts are full from open to close? Is there an open to close? Or like, is it a staff location, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh, usually like 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Usually, like for example, if the club's in a small town that doesn't really, no one stays out till 10, we might close a little earlier. Downtown, we might stay open till midnight some nights. But yeah, I mean, the thing with the business models too, you have to understand. I know a lot of clubs are just court reservation fees, and if you have thousands of people coming in, that makes sense. But if we're a little bit more, I guess a little bit more exclusive with the membership model, so we try to keep the memberships a little bit lower, so that people still have opportunities to reserve courts. Because if you get too many, and they start getting frustrated, they can't reserve courts. You know, that's on us, and we understand that. We kind of know the limits of how many members. You know, we know their capacities, but no, our clubs right now, they're pretty much full from 7 to 10, and then we got some. You know, our pros getting some private lessons. You know, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon when it's a little bit slower, but I mean, the place is usually popping all day long, even on a nice day, because you know, most of the days you're gonna want to play indoors. And for me personally, I've been spoiled. I think I would rather play indoors now. I don't like playing in the wind anymore. Now I
I'm right there with you.
play perfect conditions every time indoors, so play outside in the wind anymore. On a nice day, and that was probably what we were. One of the things we were worried about facing is if the weather's nice outside, are people going to want to buy a membership? Well, in Colorado, you got a lot of outdoorsy people. So if they want to go outside, you can go out, you go ride your bike. But if you're going to pickleball for 2 hours, I have no problem going inside and playing in perfect conditions every time. You know, you're going to get your court, you know, it's going to be good. You don't have to worry about the weather at all. So that's, we're pretty happy so far with that.
Skin protection too. Honestly, I mean, the sun's hot in Colorado.
True. Yeah.
But so with the membership model, if I have a membership, that makes a lot of sense for like, call it, the Metro Denver area. Because like you said, if membership's full at one spot, you can make the drive a little bit further to go to the other spot. And that the membership rolls over to all the different clubs seems like it makes a lot of sense. Are they having to pay so is there a monthly membership, and then are they paying court fees on top, or is that kind of an all-inclusive deal?
It's all inclusive with the pickler.
Yeah. I like that, because I don't like, I feel like if you're a member and then you're paying like, 40 bucks an hour for a court, and it's just like you're getting nickel and dimed, and nobody likes to feel like they're getting nickel and dimed.
No, we want them to just feel like family. So you come in, you go scan or check in real fast, you go to your court. No, we're not getting a nickel and dime.
Hey, have you heard of the new Play More app?
No, what is it?
Basically, the Play More app is like a stress-free scheduling app for pickleballers. So I don't know, we've struggled a lot in group text trying to organize play. You'll set it up and somebody will just like the text. And I'm like, does that actually mean you're coming or not?
Yeah, and it's like you never know how many people you have, like what rating they are. It's kind of annoying.
It can kind of just be a nightmare to
Yeah.
try to organize groups because group texts are just not fun. So basically, the Play More app lets you send out invitations. You get an RSVP list. If somebody doesn't show, there's a wait list that will actually like put somebody right
No
into.
way.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Dang, that's awesome. What's it called?
It's called the Play More app. So you should download it at the App Store, or you can go to getplaymore.com if you want to look at it online.
What do you, so with the role at the fort, where's the fort at right now in terms of construction? Because I know they've had a couple
Close.
tournaments there. I saw kind of the bones of the stadium fort, which, the renderings look unbelievable. So I'm sure that place is going to be insane. But it's close.
It's starting to look more like the pictures. Yeah.
Nice.
I think the stadium court and the restaurant is projected to be finished early May.
Okay.
So not in time for the APP Fort first week of April, but the rest of the facility is pretty good. I mean, they got their bar open finally, which I was pretty happy about. But yeah, I mean, the place is gorgeous. I can't wait for it to be fully open and running more events there with the whole. I mean, if you haven't been to Fort Lauderdale, check out the fort. Anywhere there. You might want to wait till May, but you're gonna have to place out. It's gonna be the nicest pickleball facility in the country,
Yeah,
in the
I
world,
mean, no doubt.
probably.
If it matches those pictures, it will be, like, hands down, especially with the stadium. Like, that would be, you can host so many cool events there just with that.
Which there's actually going to be a big announcement soon with another really cool event that just got locked in at the fort.
For nice.
I can't really announce it yet. I'm sorry.
Sure.
But.
No, it's fine. I'm sure it's going to be one of many coming up because it's a one of a kind.
I'll just say it's an international event. Let's put it that way.
Dope. Okay. All right. A little teaser. Get behind that. So kind of shifting gears a little bit. So, you know, you're pretty heavily involved with the APP, helping the next gen guys come up and the girls come up. And you've seen the whole evolution of pro pickleball from the TOC days to now. What are your thoughts on the landscape of pro pickleball as it stands now in the US as well as globally? Because I know you're playing a lot of international stuff.
Sure. Well, I got to see you in India about a month ago. We survived that trip. what a cool tournament, though.
Yeah.
It's just exciting for me because back when I started, I wouldn't even tell my closest friends I was going to a pickleball tournament. And now, like, the cool thing to do somehow.
Yeah.
But you just see the excitement internationally. I mean, I know Global Sports is putting on a tournament in Dubai in May. So there's just so many opportunities now. So you're seeing a lot of younger players trying to get in now. And so some of the already established players have a head start. But, I mean, it's a wild, wild west still. I mean, so between the PPA, the APP, all these international events, I think it's wise to kind of pick one and go for it. It's hard to, like, dabble in a few different ones, it seems like. But I mean, the opportunity is there. The competition is as tough as it's ever been, but it's also easier than it's ever been to actually go pro, if that makes sense. There's a lot of opportunities to train, to play with better players. There's courts everywhere. And there's a lot of going on. So you experience pretty quickly. It's very tough. There's a lot of competition. The qualifier draws are just insanely large these days. So I think people, like I said, you really have to go full in, or it's not going to happen.
So yeah, the weekend warrior having a full-time job deal and also trying to play some, like, it's just, those days are going to be, you know, few and far between, I think, for players that can actually make that happen, especially for new players. I think maybe for some of the established ones that have had jobs, like you call it a Matt Wright or somebody like that, sure. But for new players, younger players coming in, I mean, everybody's playing 8 hours a day. It's like, how are you going to maintain that if you have a job?
Exactly. And someone like a Matt Wright, he's kind of an outlier, but he has been playing for so long. He played the first Open in 2016. So he's got, like I said, almost a decade of experience already with the right skill set. So like I said, he's already well established, but some of these new players who need the experience. Yeah. That's why we're doing what we're doing at the fort. Because some of these kids, even some of the 13, 14 year olds, I remember when Annalee Waters was 9, you know, I remember when Dylan Frazier was 14, like some of these players, you know, it's just, you just got to put in the time. And so with the four, we want to at least give these kids this opportunity. And again, I mean, we're not just building pickleball players. We're trying to build good human beings too. I think kids learn a lot in sports. And so it's, you know, whether they make it pro or not, I think it's still really good for them, but we're going to do our best to make sure that they, you know, they follow their dreams and they accomplish them if possible.
Yeah. It's, you know, since Ken told me about it, I always thought it was a good idea. He's modeling the tennis, you know, how tennis did it with IMG and Volatieri, and it's smart. But it's also, I mean, you're right. It's like, especially for kids these days, like getting thrown into something like pickleball, which is so uncertain, like in terms of its future. Like, tennis is very established, right? You know what all of your pathways are in terms of, you can get a full scholarship, you can get a scholarship, you can go pro, it's very clear cut. With pickleball, you might have a college scholarship in your future if you're 9 now, and you know, in 10 years it happens, sure. Maybe it's all established by then and it moves quick, so it might be. There's still, like you said, it's like, I would say that's probably the best entryway into, if you're wanting to go pro in pickleball, before it would probably be one of your best options in terms of having built in guaranteed high level play, training as much as you want, some of the best coaches in the world. But to me, I love the model that you guys are building over there. And I think it's needed, and it's the first of its kind in pickleball.
Well, credit to Ken Herman. He's just so passionate about it. And he has a lot more experience with that kind of thing, with training kids back at the tennis. And there are some very, very high level coaches there. So just getting that on-court training with the coach there every day just to help develop these players, I think is huge for them. And I think you do have to try to be a little bit ahead of the curve too. I think waiting until there are college scholarships to start training to get a college scholarship might be too late. So somebody's 13, 14 training now, but by the time they get to that age, I think that'll be there. So you've got to try to find a way to predict, which in this sport, the only thing predictable that it's unpredictable.
Yeah.
But you see the trend and where it's going, and some colleges are already trying to get it as a sport. We're trying to get it as an official high school sport in Colorado right now. But you know, we started as a club, and a couple years later, who knows what it's going to grow into. So I think the time is to go after it, and in a few years, I think it'll happen.
Yeah, I agree. And it's also, if you think about like what pickleball has been up to now, truly, like in terms of like training and practice, there's never been really structured training, like not programs, not facilities, not anyone doing it. It's just pros getting together with other pros and drilling and practicing.
Yeah, I would say Simone was like the first one to really open on like training center. And that was wildly successful. And now you're seeing some other players and more, you know, traveling clinics and camps and things. But with the four, just the daily on-court coaching that they're doing, I think is huge for some of these kids to kind of get that extra 20% to kind of push them past all the other players who are just going out and just playing rec games and drilling.
And to build kind of some structure for their life as well, right? Like learning to be punctual, learning to be on time, learning to, you know, be respectful, just all of the, you know, life skills that are important at that age as you're coming up, because you don't really, like, if these kids are just going out and practicing with their friends, they're going to turn out to be little shits probably, you know, but if they have a little structure and some guidance from mentors that can help them, then it's huge.
Keeping them in line. I feel like I'm that. I had a group last week with the juniors, and one of the kids was a little too cool for school. And so I said, all right, next miss dink in the net, you're doing push-ups. Sure enough, he dumps in the net, and I stop play, and I just point to the ground. He's like, wait, are you serious? They go, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Consequence for missing a ball in the net, get down and do push-ups. So he drops down and, you know, reluctantly does 10 push-ups and gets up, and we continue drilling. Sure enough, miss over in the net. And I get down, drops down, does 10. About a couple minutes later, miss another net. Without even me saying anything, he starts getting down on the ground. He says, get up, keep going.
Yeah.
It's like, but then after that, he was dialed in, was playing awesome after that. So sometimes they just need a little bit of push. You know, you can't coach everyone the same way, but you figure out what kids need. You know, I might have to be a little bit softer with some and kind of walk them through, and others, I know which one be tough with, but I want them the best they can be on and off the court.
Yeah. And are you going to be actually traveling to tournaments with them and doing that whole – cool.
Yep. I was at the PPA Cape Coral a couple weeks ago watching one of our 13-year-olds, and he ended up actually winning the under 14 mixed doubles, which was super cool to see. And nice. I think he got bronze in his under 14 singles. So so the plan is to go to some of the tournaments and actually watch them compete, because practice national tournaments are very different. You know, who's a little tight at first, but we'll work through that.
Do you think that's an interesting point, because I like, when I think of you like working with the next gen, I think of like the, you know, the 17 to 21 year olds, call it, but you're right. There's a bunch of younger kids. And it's cool now that there's junior draws as well, cause that's a pretty recent development. That hasn't always been the case. Do you think with junior pickleball, is it going to kind of go in line with the amateur stuff, where the amateurs play where the pros play, at the pro tournaments, or will there ever be a kind of a standalone like junior tour by itself, you know?
Oh man, that's a good question. The way the landscape right now is, I think they need as many registrations as possible to try to recoup some of their money. So I'm sure it'll still be in line with, I'm sure they'll still have the amateurs with the pros, with the juniors as much as possible. I think the only events that they wouldn't do that was like MLP, Major League Pickleball. They would only just do the pros, but I think I heard that they're actually going to be opening up and having amateur tournaments on, you know, in line with the Major League Pickleball with the pros. So, but I think it's nice having everyone there, right?
Yeah.
They could watch some of the pros too, you know, in between matches. And, you know, I like that gathering, getting everyone together. I don't really like just the pro events necessarily every time.
Do you think fans are showing up for pro tournaments if the amateur tournament's not happening?
I'm sure they do. I mean,
plenty of people,
personally, I don't really love watching on TV. I like watching my friends, you know, and I like watching the championship Sundays and stuff. But live, pickleball is such a fun sport to watch live. So I think you're still going to get crowds. The pickleball fans, the local fans are still going to come out and watch, which as they should. I mean, if you got all the best players in the world in your town that weekend once a year, you got to go watch. Go support them. So I highly encourage people to go out and watch them if you have the opportunity to. But having the tournaments where everyone travels and they're already there definitely helps in the business end, I'm sure.
Yeah. What do you see? Where do you see the global landscape going from here? Obviously, we saw each other in India. I've got an English Open the past couple of years. It keeps getting bigger. It's in this gigantic convention center. You hear all kinds of rumblings about how it's growing in China and different spots in Asia. Obviously, Australia has kind of popped off. There's no surprise there. It's a huge, sporting country. So any sport they can get their hands on, they're gonna play. So where do you see it going here globally? Not just on the pro side, but also in terms of like amateur participation, because it is very far behind the U.S. right now.
Very, but it's gonna catch up. It's going to catch up. And I say that because I was actually over in Asia last year. I got to play the Major League Pickleball Australia tour, and I got to go to a few other countries, Vietnam, Thailand. And so I got to see firsthand. One, because I want an excuse to travel, but also I just wanted to see the state of the sport in other countries. And I would say some of those countries, Malaysia and Vietnam, those countries, the participation is skyrocketing. There were so many more facilities and players than I expected. Just in Ho Chi Minh City alone, there was like 20 nice pickleball facilities and so many players, and they're so passionate about it. So I think just the sky's the limit in Asia for sure. I know it's still growing in Europe, South America. I know Ercilio's been doing a lot down in South America to try to grow down there with his Pickleball World Cup in Peru.
Yeah.
And so it takes a village of people to actually go and do it and help spread it. But it's once that fire is lit, it's taken off. So I think probably get it to another year or two, and Asia is gonna actually probably surpass the U.S. in numbers. I mean, they got the population
so silly. Yeah, it doesn't take much.
India too. I mean, you see how many India. It's just a matter of time. Yeah, they got the population, the love for racket sports, the talent. Which is the other thing I was surprised at. Surprised, not so much, but definitely surprised, the quality of play. I mean, I assumed they would be good, they're talented, but I just didn't think they'd have the experience. But, I mean, there were some Australian players. Joey Wild, Mitch Hargreaves, like George Wall, some of these guys. And some of the women there too. Katie Hart and Danny Townsend, Amelia Schmidt, like some of these players. There's some very, very good players over there. And then you get into Asia and some of these guys that – Jack Wong's and some of these people, like, they're so good. Like, I love watching them. And then it's a different brand of pickleball. It's this new age pickleball, too. So, I just think the sky's the limit. In India, you got the Armand Bhatia, Harsh Mehta, like, some of these guys. Yeah. Like, and so, I went over there, and I had some success, but, definitely lost some matches to these guys.
Yeah.
And I'm so impressed.
Good players.
So it's really exciting to see.
And it's exciting, like, going over there. I don't know how you feel, but, like, I always love going international because everybody's so stoked. Like, they're so pumped on the sport. They're pumped to have you there. They don't get these events, like, every other weekend like we have here in the States, right? So this is, like, this is their Super Bowl. They get this, maybe this event and maybe another event later in the year, but this is it for them. So, like, their whole year is geared towards, like, performing well at these events. So it's just really cool to see how pumped they are.
Sure. Yeah, it was the announcement with the PWR was a little disappointing. The global sports, they run awesome events. And so I think there's gonna be a lot more. I know MLP Australia, and then they got the PPA tour, starting a little bit of a new Asia tour over there too. So, I mean, it's starting. So you're seeing these players know that they got to get in now, and really start off strong. They don't want to be playing catch up.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on PWR?
Well, it seemed really, really exciting. I think it's still going to happen. It's just postponed. So if you guys aren't familiar, PWR was supposed to run a year-long international tour, a bunch of crazy places,
And a bunch of crazy numbers in terms of prize money.
Crazy prize money, like $1 million prize money tournament, all sorts of things. And they've got the money to back it up. But they just had an announcement recently that it was postponed, for reasons I really don't need to get into. But like, it's just disappointing because a lot of players signed contracts with them that to be exclusive with them.
Yeah.
The tour's postponed. They're all now in limbo. Like, now what do we do?
Yeah.
But they just keep training, keep the game at a high level. The tournaments will come back. But the, like I said, so many opportunities popping up internationally. So just keep your eye out.
That is it, man. Like, I think it's very underestimated, like, what's available internationally. We even saw, like, the World Pickleball League, which was the week prior to the Global League we did. And that surprised me. It was super fun to watch. I watched some of the stream. Like, you had kind of low level APP players, some guys that are getting much better, but it was pro pickleball, but it wasn't like you're not getting the tier one pro pickleball. But I didn't care because I found it so entertaining still. The format was timed, which, you know, we've seen some Jan Poppy time stuff in the past, but I liked the format and I thought the production was really good and the social marketing was really good. And they got paid, I think, anywhere from $5,000 to $25,000 to go play that for a week. So there's opportunity everywhere.
Sure. And they're experimenting with stuff. Like I said, the new format. So they're definitely trying new things, which is exciting. And so they're just going to get better. They're just going to keep improving the events. But yeah, just the vibes are incredible over there. And it's so they're so passionate. So it's just so much fun. Especially if you're one of these young kids who are like, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, and you're trying to go pro in pickleball, and then you have these opportunities. I mean, I would fly to Brigham City, Utah, and play for like no prize money.
$250 and yeah.
These kids are flying to Mumbai.
Dude, it's like a crazy thing to think about is because how old are you now, Kyle? You're not very old.
I'm 30 in pickleball years.
Okay. So 29 turning 30 this year, which is insane to think, you know, 10 years ago, you were some of these kids' ages and you were literally playing for, you know, medal. You're taking for 45 minutes for 1 point and winning. Oh, so fun to watch some of those matches back then. But it is crazy to think about like the opportunity. And I hope you're drilling this into the kids at the fort, honestly, because the opportunities they have in front of them right now cannot be understated. Like the opportunity this time in pickleball, it might not come back to where you can go get $25,000 for playing a week in India. Like that might not come back again. So I hope these kids understand the opportunity they have and pursue every opportunity they can and not go because they don't want to do the travel. Like, just go do everything right now.
There's no time like the present. But yeah, I mean, I have the parents of these kids at the fort come up to me saying, do you really think, you know, it's going to be college scholarships for this? I said, I don't know, but your kid loves pickleball.
Yep.
You know, he or she's very good at it. There's going to be opportunities, you know, but what else would you rather them doing? I mean, they love it. They're passionate about it. And so, you know, we're trying to turn them into professional pickleball players, but also, yeah, you know, good professional people. So we'll see.
If you also think about,
yeah, if you got to travel,
do it.
And I've always been under that impression. I wanted to see the world when I, you know, at the time I wasn't going to push it off and procrastinate that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
I've been pretty getting in the sport as early as I did. I would not have had these opportunities otherwise. So it's exciting.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to do now is just blend pickleball with travel, help the sport grow, have conversations like this. I was thinking like with the next gen players, for the pathways, college scholarship, maybe, maybe not. But regardless, you're going to be a very good player if you go through the program at the fort and you stay with it and you train throughout your teens. You'll like another pathway I see is like, obviously, you can go to college, learn business, whatever, if you want to. But there's also going to be plenty of opportunities. Just like you said, the amateur side of pickleball is not ever going to go anywhere. In my opinion, it's too accessible. It's too easy to play. It's too fun. There's too many facilities now, thanks to you. But they will have an opportunity, whether it's running facility, whether it's coaching, whether it's, you know, playing collegiately, whether it's playing professionally. There's just stick with the sport. Be really like, you know, I've gone all in from the sport much after you did, but since 2020, I have only done pickleball and have tried to just add value to the community like you're doing to the Colorado community. You know, talk about pickleball on podcasts, play, you know, post some random stuff on social, some controversial stuff, but just like add value to the community so you're opening up conversations. And I think if you just do anything like that consistently over the course of years, you're going to have so many opportunities that come up. So I'm excited for what you're doing down at the Fort. I think it's really cool what you're doing building pickleball in Colorado and still getting to play some and beat up on people internationally. So really appreciate you kind of sharing your story, Kyle. Any kind of last words on where people can find you or advice?
Sure. Yeah. Well, Instagram, KyleYates.pb. But I've got, keep your eye out for a signature paddle coming out soon. Hoping to release it at the U.S. Open this year. Possibly my last pro U.S. Open. And that's kind of where my career really started. So running it back with Dave Weinbach.
Oh, love it. That's sick.
Age. So kind of try to get the, you know, the boys are going to be back in town.
Love it.
So look out for that.
I want lots of dinking, lots of lobs. I want lots of badger bumps. Come-ons. Yeah, chest bumps. And I want you guys to play all top in some form or fashion.
Oh, boy, that'd be loud.
That would be fun.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, man. And talk to you later.
Yeah, thanks.